This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliet Goodrich.
Okay, no exaggeration. It was probably a day to secure that lawn furniture, take your allergy meds, and have that extra hairspray handy. Gusty winds whip through our region, and they are causing some issues big time. We are seeing some power outages around the Bay Area. In fact, here's a look at PG&E's outage map. And at one point this morning, the wind knocked out power in Orinda and even stopped BART service for a time. And in San Mateo County, a tree came down on some power lines on Highway 35. This was between Highway 9 and Alpine Road. Yep, and you can certainly hear the wind in this video. Our photojournalist, Vince Garrido, captured this in the San Jose foothills. And it's not letting up just yet. Our Paul Hagan is here now with all the details. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, we had some really blustery conditions this morning to around noon. Since then, we've gotten into a little lull in terms of the strongest winds, but it's definitely still breezy out there this evening. Sustained winds mostly in the 10 to 20 mile an hour range, but 25 mile an hour sustained winds recorded at the top of the hour in Napa, and some gusts in excess of 25 miles an hour, 35 mile an hour gust, in fact, in Napa. But those numbers were over 40 miles an hour earlier today. Another burst of wind energy is going to head in later tonight into early tomorrow morning. But for the most part, valleys around the Bay Area are going to have 25 to 30 mile an hour gusts. That's below the wind advisory threshold. So that wind advisory for valley locations closer to sea level, that was allowed to expire at 5 p.m. Still a wind advisory for the higher elevations through 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's where the winds are more likely to exceed 50 miles an hour through the rest of tonight. In the first half of Friday, it will still be a noticeable wind tomorrow afternoon, but things will be much calmer in time for St. Patrick's Day weekend. And we'll keep the above average temperatures in place for St. Patrick's Day weekend, too. In fact, the weekend is looking like the nicest that we have seen in quite a while. Details on that coming up in just a few minutes.
We will take it. Thank you, Paul. You may remember the massive protest 5 months ago that shut down the Bay Bridge for hours, leaving many drivers frustrated. Well, today, the 78 people who were arrested that day, they're celebrating. They reached an agreement that will allow them to avoid jail time. Our Wilson Walker was in court where the group's supporters also showed up.
The Bay Bridge 78 walked out of the courtroom to the cheering crowd that had packed the hallway to support them. The outcome, in the words of one organizer, a complete vindication and victory.
Essentially, the judge dismissed our case as of May 15th with a diversion offer of 5 hours community service and a little under $4,500 in restitution. I think that the DA's retaliatory charges were an attempt to put a chill on mobilization.
As for some kind of precedent here, we have seen incidents like this before. In 2016, protesters with Black Lives Matter took over the bridge, and the Highway Patrol arrested 25 people. District Attorney George Gascon reduced the charges to simple traffic citations, saying it was in the interest of free speech. Then a judge just threw those charges out wholesale. So while blocking the bridge is illegal, there is plenty of room for discretion.
Yes, the government does have a certain amount of prosecutorial discretion in terms of whether it's going to arrest people, whether it's just going to say go home and allow people to leave. There's all sorts of latitude and discretion that creeps in at various parts of the process. But certainly in terms of the First Amendment question, they are permitted to say either move to the sidewalk or you have to stop your protest.
The protesters initially asked for the charges to be dropped completely, and there was a great deal of anger directed towards District Attorney Brooke Jenkins for her pursual of charges at all. One of the 78 defended the protest, saying the movement is being persecuted and misrepresented.
I still stand behind what we have done and that we needed to make the statements that we needed to do in order to make our voices loud and clear. This movement is much larger than what is being perceived on the media, and I hope that you as a reporter can reflect that in your own reporting.
So there you go, very much a victory in the minds of supporters. Now, we just heard from the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. She made a couple clarifications on that restitution. She pointed out that each individual is ordered to pay restitution to a specific person who had to be evacuated from the bridge. And the district attorney says the amount of that restitution will be determined at a later date. Also, if any of these folks are subsequently arrested, the deal is off and the district attorney can resume the prosecution of those charges. But for now, it appears that the case of the Bay Bridge 78 is resolved and perhaps folded into the ongoing politics of San Francisco as we head towards November.
And November's protests was just one in a series of actions calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Just yesterday, protesters blocked a ramp to SFO's international terminal. Last month, hundreds of protesters marched through the streets of San Francisco and onto Highway 101. And a few days prior to that, protesters briefly shut down the Golden Gate Bridge, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. All right, while most of the primary election races already have clear winners, the second place spot in the race for retiring Congresswoman Anna Eshoo's seat is still a toss-up, and that district spans the peninsula into the South Bay. San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo has a lock on first place, but Assemblymember Evan Lowe and Santa Clara County Supervisor Joe Simidian are neck and neck for second place, separated by only 63 votes. Only the top two vote getters in the recall will, or in the race that is, will move on to the general election.
The fact that this race could come down to a relative handful of votes is a reminder that every vote counts and every vote has to be counted, and that's what makes the democratic process work.
Lowe released a statement saying that he is encouraged by recent returns that have pushed him just barely into the lead. Fewer than 4% of votes are left to be counted. Happy birthday to Steph Curry. He turned 36 years old today. Steph has blown fans away with his amazing scoring skills. And one man has had a front row seat to almost all of his home games. No, we're not talking Vern Glenn, but he has the story of Jim Mayer, who's a clock operator who's been with the team, what, for more than six decades?
Six decades. You know, like the Rolling Stones song? Time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Very good.
Well, it certainly applies to this guy who's got one of the best seats in the house at Chase Center, too.
Jim Mayer has one of the best seats in the house at Chase Center. Well, most of the time. Mayer has been with the Warriors since the team moved to San Francisco in 1962.
Bad timing. It was the same time the Giants were in the World Series with the Yankees, so they didn't get a lot of attention. But it was exciting for me because I got to be a ball boy. It was like dream come true for a 13-year-old kid.
A few years later, Jim moved from the baseline to the scorer's table.
That was actually a paid position. The ball boys didn't get paid. We got tips from the trainers and the referees, which turned out to be probably more than what they were paying us for the job on the table.
Back then, he did it all. Shot clock, scoreboard, even foul paddles.
Everybody doing well?
Doing good, doing good. All right, G, have a good one.
In 1990, Jim took over as the full-time clock operator, all while juggling his job at the U.S. Postal Service and raising a family with his longtime wife, Jolene.
We had four kids and a full-time job, and I somehow kept this job. It was tough at times.
And there hasn't been a lot of load management over his 61 years with the team.
I missed about half a season when I was in the Navy. That was in 1969. I missed a couple when the kids were born. My oldest son was born. I remember we were playing New Orleans Jazz. Pistol Pete was playing for them, and that was my wife's favorite player. So we missed that one. And I would say in the last 25 years, I've missed 10 games, maybe.
Hey, Doc, how you doing? All right.
Jim has four championship rings from the recent run.
We would just look at each other on the table sometime and say, this is something special we're seeing. We're not going to see nothing like this again.
He received a money clip for the 1975 title and plenty of other priceless memories along the way.
I've got to go travel with them for preseason games to Mexico City, Beijing and Shanghai, China, and Tokyo, Japan. So that's something I never would have been able to do otherwise without this job.
And he's not ready for the clock to run out anytime soon.
It's hard to give it up. You know, one of these, I'll probably do it until they kick me out.
Right on, Jim. You know, he's got a lot of memories, Jules, in 6 decades with the team. Here's a visual. Running around Ocean Beach with Will Chamberlain and his dogs when the big man played for the Warriors in the early to mid-1960s.
Wow. Everyone's friend, on the court, off the court. So you see him every time you're there.
Yeah, if you see him, just go, hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim. Okay, I will.
Say hey back.
I will. All right, friend, thank you. Oakland police are warning there's an uptick in robberies, and thieves are now targeting parked cars with drivers still sitting inside. So here's one recent incident. It was caught on camera. A woman is pulling into her driveway when a car pulls up behind her. The robber gets out of the car, smashes her passenger window, taking off with the woman's purse. She says the entire robbery lasted about 10 seconds.
Be more aware of your surroundings. Trust no one. You know, you might want to see the good in people, but right now, I don't think you should. Just run away. Trust your gut.
And the woman tells us when she called police to report the robbery, they told her there were 200 pending calls ahead of her, some of which they believed were reports of the same suspects. Starbucks is facing a discrimination lawsuit brought on by three lactose intolerant women who claim that the coffee chain charges excessively high fees for their non-dairy options, such as soy, almond, oat, and other plant-based milks. Lactose intolerance does qualify as a disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So right now, additional fees for non-dairy options at Starbucks range from 50 to 80 cents per drink. Starbucks is not commenting on the lawsuit. All right. Thanks so much for watching us. We have more news coming up at 11 o'clock, also on PIX Plus. We'll see you right back here later on. Thanks for joining us. To tip or not tip? That is the question.